Hey everyone, what's going on? Welcome to the Smoking Tire Podcast. This episode is brought to you by ButcherBox. ButcherBox is kind of what it sounds like, a box full of butcher products, meat delivered to your house. Honestly, what's better than meat delivered to your house? Nothing! Meat delivered to your house is the best. And look, this month, it's a big month between Super Bowl, Oscars, lots of reasons to need meat because there's parties going on, you're having people over. Plus, if you're going to be having people over, I got a special offer for you with ButcherBox that's going to be coming. We're giving you free wings for life, folks, when you sign up now. Here's how ButcherBox works. Every month, they ship a curated selection of high-quality meat right to your home. All the meat is free of antibiotics and added hormones, and every box has 9 to 11 pounds of meat, enough for 24 individual meals. It's packed fresh, shipped frozen, and vacuum-sealed, so it stays that way. You can customize your box or go with one of their pre-made boxes. Either way, you're getting exactly what you want. I ordered a box. I made it up myself. It was full of ribeyes, steak tips, filet mignon, sausages, a bunch of stuff, plus free wings for life, dude. This is crazy. Right now, you can get free wings for life plus $20 off your first box, 3 pounds of wings in every box for the lifetime of your subscription, plus $20 off your first box if you go to butcherbox.com/tire or use promo code TIRE at checkout. So go to butcherbox.com/tire or just go to the regular site and use promo code TIRE at checkout. Free wings for life and $20 off. What's not to like about that? We are also brought to you by Crown & Caliber. I love these guys. It's really hard to find a good, honest watch shop in the age of buying watches on the internet. There's a lot of sketchiness out there, a lot you need to be aware of. There's fakes flying around like nothing. It's just ridiculous. Crown & Caliber, I love them because A, they're a totally legitimate business that only deals in totally legitimate watches. And if you buy a watch from them, whether it's a new watch or an old watch, they sell both, it's going to be working. It's going to be the watch that was in the photos that you looked at. There's no baiting and switching, none of that. There's no sending you watches that immediately need service. If something is wrong with one of their watches, they have a limited mechanical warranty and they will make it right. They've got technicians on staff at all times that can handle this kind of stuff. Crown & Caliber has over 2,000 watches in stock at all times, from Rolex, Breitling, Omega, Panerai, Cartier, Patek, Audemars, and on and on and on. And if they don't have it, they can probably find it. You know where they get those watches, folks? They get them from people like you who trade them in or sell them to Crown & Caliber. That's right. They buy, sell, and trade watches. So maybe you want to get out of an old watch you've got, get into something different, upgrade, downgrade, sidegrade, what have you. They do that kind of thing. And right now, if you go to crownandcaliber.com/TST, that's crownandcaliber.com/TST, you can get entered to win a Rolex Submariner. Rolex Submariner is sort of like the M3 or the 911 of watches. It's kind of ubiquitous, but it's just an incredibly high quality item that is a must for any proper collection. And if you go to crownandcaliber.com/TST, they're giving one away, folks. Also, if you want to buy something at Crown & Caliber, write this down. Code TST175. TST175. That'll get you $175 off your first watch from Crown & Caliber. That's it. All right, on this episode of the show, my old boy Ralph Guerra is in studio. He writes for internet brands, which owns a bunch of different sites, and mainly he's at racingjunk.com right now, which is a fun place to be working. He's also a stand-up comedian who tours all over the country. He has owned 3 Ford Taurus SHOs, which automatically puts him on the running for weirdest and most interesting people of all time. We are covering a lot of ground on this show, but I love having him in studio. It's Ralph Guerra on the Smoking Tire Podcast.
We're in the world. We're in the cloud.
We exist. What's happening?
Good, man. You look great, by the way.
It's the Smoking Tire Podcast. Thank you, Ralph Guerra.
How many LBs you down?
I don't know. I don't go on scales. It fucked me up.
Wow.
I'm going to go on a scale, I think, probably at the end of February. You look good, too, man.
Thank you. It's the tequila.
It's It's the anorexia and the tequila.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good for you.
Yeah.
It's the only alcohol that's like an upper, so you get a lot of exercise afterwards.
Honestly, it's bad news bears sometimes, because it's just like, you have one drink, you're like, yep, I can go for hours.
Tequila is, my friends that do cocaine, it's their drink of choice.
Yeah. Way to call me out, Matt.
I don't think of you as a cocaine doing friend. Yeah. I have friends that I put in that category.
Yeah.
And they always go for the Cazadores. Always.
Yeah. I'm not rich enough to have a cocaine habit.
Well, they're in that category because they have t-shirts on the back and team logos that are like cocaine, team cocaine.
No, you know what? Softball. That uniform is the t-shirt hoodie. John Varvatos t-shirt hoodie. And then those leather bracelets that have the sort of fish hooks that connect them.
Oh my gosh.
That's the team.
What's the cocaine? Team.
It's more than one person.
What's the cocaine car? Like if you're...
a cocaine car?
Anything like on Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah.
It's got to be a G-Wagon or a Range Rover, right? A loud, fast SUV on big wheels.
Yeah.
In L.A. anyway.
Yeah.
In other cities... there could be differences. Like, what do you like? The cocaine car in Houston is different.
You're right.
Hellcat.
Yeah. That Hennessy Jeep.
Depends on the level, of course, right?
Yeah.
Good point. Or the, what are they called? Slabs? Is that what they do in Houston?
Slabs,
right?
Mm-hmm.
With the things, with the scaffold, the scaffolding that come up.
Mm-hmm.
Slabs, right, Zach? When you turn a slab into motion, when you drive a slab, I think you're swanging.
Swanging?
Swanging, I think.
I think you're swanging.
Yeah. On the Smoking Tire podcast on a Thursday. Hi, Ralph Guerra. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
We're opening with swanging. Look at that 300.
Mm. Oh, man.
The 300. Look at the fucking Cadillac with longhorns.
The villain in like the Little Rascals, like driving next to the car, like trying to fuck up the other derby.
Right. No, those are meant to shred shit, I think. But apparently those are legal in Texas. I really like that second one down, the Eldorado Opera convertible with the spare tire in the front there.
Oh yeah.
That spare tire thing, I mean, not the funky swanging rim, but the spare tire is factory.
Dude, Vogues. Vogues, yeah, of course. Too, those Vogues. Sick.
I love that shit. That's a Texas cocaine. Is that Vanilla Ice?
Dude, that's
Paul
Wall.
Is he a slab god?
That's Paul Wall.
That's Paul Wall.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Paul Wall lost a lot of weight.
Is that really Paul Wall?
That's really Paul Wall.
He does look thin.
Yeah, and the people's champ.
But take a left to Vanilla Ice. Did you see that he apparently owns and has had restored the... good call, Ralph. That is Paul Wall. Can you pull up a picture, Zach, of the Vanilla Ice 5.0 Mustang restored from the Ice Baby video? Apparently Vanilla Ice is going to Cars and Coffees in Florida in this thing.
An internet show kind of. I remember him. He was like, this is like from the 90s. He's like breaking down like Cosworths and stuff. Like,
really?
Yeah.
No way.
Swear to God,
I mean, he's got the house flipping thing, and he definitely makes bank flipping houses.
But he didn't really know about cars, so he's like, how much HP is that bitch putting out? And some British guy's like,
But I guess, I don't know where he got it back from or if he owned it the whole time, but apparently it was restored. It's restored to IIB spec. Ice Baby spec.
What is the pony rims
really
on there?
Like the, it's got the 5 stars. I like the Momo steering wheel the most, though. The Momo steering wheel is, those 5 stars. Yeah. Those are American Racings, I think.
Or right? Are those Celine's?
They might be Celine's. Look at the Momo steering wheel, bro.
Look at the rest of the interior,
full
dude.
Quilted leather.
Oh, all red with white accents.
Wow. White vents. Red with white leather wrapped vents. But so that Momo steering wheel, I had that steering wheel in my Hummer H1, but it was wood grain. It was all wood grain.
I think we found another cocaine car, gentlemen.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep.
It's classy, though. Oh, you like how he did the round gauge update from the SN95, the fully round gauges? How about that?
I mean, those are still, they're still not great gauges, though.
No, they're not, but they're better. I really like that Vanilla Ice just has this. It makes me go Rob Van Winkle.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, my God, that's the engine?
So supercharged.
He's got a blower on it, but then he's also got this white kind of engine cover that just really covers up the entire,
except the blower.
Yeah, the blower peeks out and the intake wrapping around of the throttle body, and there's an angel.
What is the logo? Is that like the Vanilla Cupid. Ice logo?
No, that's like a Cupid angel with a what's it called, like a bow and arrow thing.
I wish I could hear him explain
it. So does this 5.0 just shoot shoot arrows into the hearts of hoes.
Oh yeah,
South Beach, or it just shoots cocaine. Is that Cupid just blowing?
Yeah,
that's not a bow and arrow, Zach. Yeah. Oh man, what's going on, Ralph?
Not much, man.
Drove up in a Fiat.
Yeah, they got the Abarth.
The Vanilla Ice logo, I had to stop you, is an angel holding an Uzi.
Oh!
It's Cupid holding an Uzi.
Yeah.
As ultimate you were, but this is Cupid holding an Uzi.
What a great fucking logo. And look, it's an angel with Vanilla Ice hair and baggy pants holding an Uzi.
Oh my goodness. Also, it's flying and shooting up.
Right.
Good point.
What is it shooting
at? It's an anti-aircraft angel.
Fucking Icarus, you dick. Get away from my house.
This goddamn Icarus.
Icarus always flying a drone over my house.
Yeah. Right. Eating my gold tulips.
Sorry, I interrupted, but that was amazing.
I mean, you interrupted talk about a Fiat, which is really open for always interruption.
The moment I bought
is it an E?
It's the Barth.
Oh, it's an Abarth.
The moment I bought it, I was just thinking of all the times of you just driving around the ST being like, it's the better car. And I get,
fucking echo in your
head. Yeah, I know. But it's just like, it's the same person. The same person that buys an Abarth over an ST is the same person that bought a Viper 98 over like a 911 Turbo.
Yeah, or a Vette. Yeah. I mean, I can relate. I bought a mini John Cooper Works instead of a Subaru STI in 2007. So it's the same kind of thing, except it's a much worse car.
It's not.
I'm sorry.
I mean, yeah.
It's not a bad car.
It's not. Here's for what it is. Also, driving that thing around in like looking for parking in Los Angeles, it's the best thing in the world.
I agree with you 100%. True. Small car in the city is excellent.
Loud.
Zach says that they sound like Cessnas running out of gas, which is the best, most accurate statement ever made about
their parking. Yeah.
Or just a dying pig when it's idling.
Yeah,
it's so sad. Yeah. I laugh when it like pops at 22 miles an hour.
I heard a BMW going down the street the other day that had the burbliest fucking burble tune. I mean, it was like a M4 with like a Vorsteiner everything on it.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy was creeping down the street at 12.
Well, that's how we know there's too much sound deadening in new cars, because he doesn't know that.
Yeah.
He's just like, man, what's going on?
He came here, he goes, turn on this engine sound.
I was actually, because I was updating all of our stuff yesterday, and I drove an M340 like a long time ago, and that guy had a crazy burble tune. And when I got in the car, I was like, it was a 2018. I was like, this is not that loud inside, but you don't know what it's like outside. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll watch the drive-bys, and it's very popcorn.
Yeah.
The burbliest of tunes.
Yeah. You know what? It's got no mufflers, obviously. So,
stock.
Is it just dropping oil into the. Is that what it's doing?
It just dumps fuel.
It dumps cherry bombs into
the exhaust. You know what, though? I like that better than Ford funneling in the noise into the cabin.
Yeah, I agree with you. I hate engine noise in the cabin in principle. I've had it in a couple of cars where I've just turned it off.
Who else does that?
A lot of people.
Really?
BMW. GM does it. The new Corvette has it. Audi almost. Does Audi do it?
Does Jaguar and Aston?
Wow.
A
lot of them do it.
Damn.
And when I had my Focus RS, I unplugged. It had its own fuse, and I unplugged it.
Yeah.
15 minutes later, I plugged it back in.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, damn it, they were right.
And that's the thing about newer cars, right? You're just missing that kind of visceralness.
A lot of the turbo cars just don't sound as good. I mean, fucking Fiat is like, fuck, no muffler. Yeah. Fuck it. That's a way to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But a lot of the turbo cars just, they sound like air moving. And so they do the burble tune, or they do the exhaust into the cabin with the fucking, Porsche does this trumpet thing that, it literally is a trumpet that comes off the intake and is just on the firewall.
Oh, wow.
And they managed to get the intake sound into the cabin without doing it electronically in the 911, the new 992.
Oh.
Just pretty fucking cool, actually. Jason Camisa is the king of this. We were talking about this yesterday with these mini guys. Jason Camisa is the most hypersensitive person, like, I don't mean that like yeah, I mean like not, he's not a snowflake. I mean like,
oh god, this is 60%.
Yes. He can feel everything in the car. He can be like, the sound is coming from that speaker, and it's he said it was recorded from a drive-by, not like all the littlest shit. He can do. He's your guy to suss all that out.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
But Fiat's just loud. Yeah. They don't do it.
And they're done. Dunzo.
I know. You got that used, presumably, right?
Yeah.
Did you get rid of the shows? You didn't.
Yeah, I had to get rid of the show. Oh. Got rid of the show and my Continental.
So many people are gonna log off right now.
It's so funny. Have you on you're like all the fucking show enthusiasts come out of the fucking woodwork.
Oh yeah. Well, here's the thing: I've had three of them. I'm gonna have another one. That's just what happens. I went away from it. I couldn't have fucking. Three cars, so I sold it to this kid and he drove it up to NorCal. I was like, hey, whenever you sell it, let me know.
Yeah.
And the previous owner that I bought it from NorCal, he's like, hey man, that dude selling our show, he got an accident.
Really?
The rear quarter panel was like all fucked up.
Oh,
like,
no.
I was like, yeah, so he probably didn't want to.
Yeah, no, well, you don't want it now either.
I don't want it now either. Yeah.
There'll be more.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll come out of the woodwork. There's going to be barn find shows.
Dude, it's insane, man. These guys are, you really got, they're such a finicky because you have to do the 60,000 service, which is everything. And
is it really expensive?
It's expensive. Honestly, it's just time consuming.
Oh.
You do it with a buddy in a garage and it takes a long, long time.
Is it a timing belt service?
It's everything. Yeah, belt, the water pumps, little sensors, gaskets and all that. But you have to do it.
You
go bad.
We just did that on our van in the Delica.
Yeah.
So it's timing belt, water pump, gaskets, spark plugs. The major. It's the major service.
I didn't know you had a Delica.
Yeah, I got one for the shop and for my wife and for Hannah to drive.
Oh, really?
Hannah fucking loves it.
I bet.
In theory, it's a business vehicle, but I'm going to have to pry it from Hannah.
Because
Hannah has an Hannah can be driving either a beautiful Jaguar F-Type.
Yeah.
Or the Delica, and she prefers the Delica. There it is. It's so great.
So cool.
It's so
great.
One
of the best vans ever, ever, ever made.
Fucking space van. If you haven't watched my video, I put a video up of it this Wednesday. Go watch it.
It's a very friendly van, like the size of it and everything.
Yeah.
It looks durable and capable, but it doesn't look like an asshole.
No, it's stylish. People smile when they see it. It's very charming. Hannah just thinks it has the most personality, like... Everyone just fucking loves that thing.
Yeah.
Strongly recommend the Delica. It's just really slow.
Is it? Yeah. I gotta imagine.
Yeah. It's Zach, I think you're showing our screen right now on the fucking feed. What are we doing, bro? Get us back. Thanks. It's 84 horsepower. It's slow.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Slower than you think it will. Like when we were doing the shoot, and I was like, all right, you can pass on the left over here. And I was I'm going pretty slow. And I was like, oh, no, he's trying.
It's not a performance vehicle.
Yeah.
It's okay, though. It's for fucking...
It's cool, man.
It's for sitting in traffic in L.A.
It's cool.
It's very cool.
It reminds me of those old Suzukis.
Like sidekicks?
Yeah. Just kind of have that samurai. It's kind of got that vibe.
There's what did none we see yesterday? Left,
man. We saw a Daihatsu Rocky.
Oh, yeah.
On the fucking highway yesterday. I haven't seen one of those in years.
You'll find those on Craigslist for $1,200.
Always? Always $1,200?
There's one of them. One guy sells
it's
it.
The same one.
And he sells it to the other guy.
I think that one's it. It's like, dude, I was a soft top. They're rough, man.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Look at the wide body.
That's like, is that the Dakar homologation?
I'm kind of into it.
Do you guys remember all the old rap videos where the dudes were pimping out the sidekicks?
Sidekicks? Hell yeah.
Those are so funny.
I think the taste of rappers' cars is over the years is real funny. Because they went from sidekicks and mini trucks to 6'4 Impalas.
Yeah.
And then kind of into mainstream cars just with huge rims.
Yeah.
And now it's just like full on luxury cars.
Full
and
on.
Like now it's like Chirons. Now it's like you got to be like Bugatti status.
Bro, dope. In my apartment building, Lil Pump, who's this rapper.
Oh, yeah.
I'm coming home late from a show at like 2 a.m. and he comes out of, what's the top Rolls Royce?
Like a Phantom?
It's a Phantom.
Yeah.
He like stumbles out of the Phantom so high, like parked in a handicapped spot. He wasn't driving. His buddy was driving. And I look up. I was like, what the fuck is Lil Pump doing in my vision?
Yeah.
In my apartment building. And he, I apparently, I don't know why, maybe he just owns a place there because it's right next to LAX.
Yeah, he probably has good taste in vehicles. Is that him?
Yeah.
He does drugs.
Yeah, man.
That is someone who does real drugs.
He is drugs.
That person is drugs. And that's a mumble rapper.
You know what? I swear to God, the last time I was here, we were talking about Lil Pump.
Really?
Because I have, because now it's coming back to me. He looks like the smart gremlin.
Oh, yes. We did talk about that last time.
That's so weird.
It's cyclical.
Yeah.
But he has a phantom, so he's good taste.
Yeah, yeah.
There's, oh, yeah. Leave that up, Zach. It's weird when celebrities like that just appear in places you don't expect them to. I was sitting on the porch in Malibu yesterday, or 2 days ago, and Ray Liotta cruises by.
Yeah.
Looking like an old Ray Liotta. And you don't want to bother, you don't want to bug Ray Liotta, but like, damn, I wanted to so bad. Yeah. But it's just like, there you are having a sandwich. I'm like, oh, Henry Hill. Henry Hill just cruising on by.
You gotta
want to say some shit.
But I did not.
He with a bat, though. Like, every character he's played is like open to conversation.
He kind of looked like if I went up to him, he would hit me over the head with his, like, marine layer shopping bag.
Yeah.
Spike just fucking. Gently. Spike was there and was just like, Chantix! I was like, dude, what are you doing?
The only time I've ever said anything to someone was Shaq. I was walking by Shaq.
Well, how do you not?
And I was just like, he was dressed up like a cop. Because this is I was at a party in El Segundo at the hotel, and he was like walking by in his cop uniform. And he had like 14 bodyguards, all little dudes that knew karate. And
a bunch of little Bruce Lees.
Yeah. And I was like, hey, everyone, it's the guy from Kazam.
Oh, man.
Did he
send the ninjas on you?
No. He just
ninjas, attack.
He just pointed at me and gave me this fake, like, I'd kill you. And I'd be like, yeah, you would. Mr.
Shaq has a ninja militia?
Yeah.
Were they actually people. Small, or was it just standing next to him?
No, they were all 6'7".
Right. Like, no, they were all 5'7".
Ninja militia.
Yeah.
Shaq kind of is a cop. Isn't he deputized something or other?
Yep,
he's some kind of cop.
Oh, yeah.
So I got to tell you about these cars that Zach and I drove yesterday.
Yeah.
We went up to Buellton, where Pea Soup Anderson's is. Like,
oh, man.
Like 40 miles past.
They advertised that for...
Boy, is it wasted. No, I've eaten there before, though. It's gross.
The problem is it's in a spot where there's... way better places to eat there.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
14 better places
right
to eat.
In the heart of wine
But
country.
None of those places bought a billboard every 100 miles.
No.
Even on a highway that you're not on.
Yeah.
If you're
yeah.
on the 5, it's like, hey, Pea Soup Anderson's isn't that far. It's like, wait, isn't that like west 50 miles out of the way? They're like, yeah, but.
Yeah, but have you tried this soup? They put bacon in it. Never had that before.
In the 40s, it was amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
In the 40s, like, coolant? Also, pea soup?
Yeah. In the 30s, it was just like, we're a restaurant that's still open. And everyone's like, oh, thank God, food. Here.
No, we went to this place, Gildred Racing, up there, that builds these batshit minis. Like, old ones. And so they have...
Oh, yeah, I saw the picture of this.
They had a variety of little nutty minis. But that red one in the back of that picture there, that's the one. So Zach had a go in a mini that had a Honda CRV powertrain swap. All-wheel drive. All-wheel drive B20
Jesus
Honda.
Christ.
200 horsepower. Kind of neat.
Yeah. 200, 220. It had a full cage. It had good seats.
Those weigh like what? 1,800 pounds?
2,000, I think, with the all-wheel drive.
With all-wheel drive.
Like, which is amazing.
Yeah. And then, so he drove that, and it was pretty cool. And then I drove this one.
Oh, wow.
Which looks pretty stock, but it's red. Well, but it's red. Yeah, Matt, you're a fucking genius. But it's got kind of it's got wide wheels and wide fender flares on it.
Is that one all-wheel drive?
No, it's rear-wheel drive.
Whoa,
it is rear engine, rear drive,
and it is
a Rotrex supercharged 3.5-liter Acura V6. With a 6-speed manual.
Oh, man.
And a limited slip differential, and it makes 500 to the wheels. And the car weighs 2,000 pounds with heat, air conditioning, touch, keyless go, and heated and cooled seats. And the guy was kind of like, who built it, was kind of like, I mean, he didn't sound fucking like Down syndrome. Like that. He was like, look, this thing has a monster engine in it, and it runs 10s, by the way. It runs a 10-second quarter mile. And he was kind of like, I wish it was lighter. Like, it was 2,000 pounds and 500 horsepower. And he's like, you know, we could probably take 200 or 300 pounds out of it. I'm like, please don't.
Yeah, don't.
Because it has like a suede interior. The engine cover in the back is covered in suede. Like, it's a really, really nicely done car. And
if you're not on the throttle, it's actually reasonably refined. Like, you can have a conversation in there.
Right, but if you sneeze or breathe and touch the gas or the brake or steering wheel, it like, because it's so short, woo boy.
Yeah. It's fucking so crazy. Do you have the RAW on this computer, Zach? Can you play just like a couple seconds of RAW?
I could get it.
Is it handy? Is it worth it? I don't know if it's worth it.
I think it's worth it.
It's probably worth it. Zach can find a couple seconds. But like, so stock wheelbase. What's the wheel? 86 inches?
80.
80 inch wheelbase.
Oh, wow.
Okay, 500 horsepower with the engine in the back. So the the steering is so twitchy and fucking shady, and like, you know, they're doing their best. It's in development, but it's really hard work to drive it. And so
I wonder what made him go with that engine choice.
I mean, it's just crazy, I think.
It is a motherfucking experience, dude. I mean, I had a lot of adrenaline for about half an hour to 40 minutes after riding it and driving it briefly. And like, just the ride next to Matt.
Zach drove it too.
Nuts.
Hey, I mean, I drove it and then Zach drove it. When Zach came back from driving it, he was like, you know, you did a really good job of not talking about how fucking much work this thing is to drive. Man.
Yeah. No, I had like a real appreciation. Like, you are a better driver than me. And that. But honestly, it solidified, like, there's this smoothness that, you know, you kind of obtain as you get better and better and better. And it showed, because when I got in, I was like, all right, this thing looked like pretty
manageable.
I think
he's just more used
to
sketchy
cars. And I like let off a little bit or move. You go to shift and the weight changes on the hand because it's short wheelbase with big tires. So it changes direction real quick.
Yeah. When you lift and you load up the weight on the nose, and they put, you know, they've got a cooling system, they've got the air conditioning, and they've got a fuel cell in the front. So there is something up there, but you have fucking really changed the weight distribution. And so when you lift, especially if you're like on it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're reared back. Now you lift and it's, does one of those. You know what I mean? It's really, 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 really gnarly.
And it's really, really fast, but it's a really great experience of fast. Like new cars today feel like a real stiff, and you know, they kind of just squat and go, and it feels like overly sprung and everything. And this had a really nice, like, gentle sag to the back, and then stopped and just set. And just fucking tore space-time apart and just moved through air molecules. It was so good.
For a car from the 70s, I mean, I don't know if I've been in a car that's that old that goes that fast.
Oh, wow.
I mean, even...
Yeah.
That's not true. I was in Josh Kalis' Camaro. Josh Kalis' Camaro had 1,400 horsepower.
Yeah.
That went that fast. But this thing... This jumps out at you.
It's different fast.
Especially because, like, if you think about a Japanese V6, it doesn't have a big cam. It's boost-based, right? So at, you know, idle, it's quiet. It's a fucking quiet little V6. It's whatever. And even it off, like, life, but you get into the pedal, and it's like, hellfire. It's fucking great.
So, like, the throttle response, like, even if you, like,
just... Are you going through homie's iPhone videos? Okay, we found one.
Yeah, that's the fastest thing I can get.
All right, yeah. Here, listen to this little flyby. And this is a car. This car worked, man. He just handed over the keys. He didn't no special instructions, nothing. Here's a sound up.
Oh man,
it's a nice little sound.
Yeah.
It's a very good sounding V6.
Yeah,
it is so fast, dude. Like, I'm not explaining it very well, but like, all the gears feel about the same.
It's just
there's something about the way it's sprung and the size and all of it that like really contributed to the overall experience of driving it and how quick it was and it was done really well and it worked and the power band was like perfect.
Because a 10-second car that weighs 2,000 pounds and a 10-second car that weighs...
Dude, you're shifting four times. You're doing 10 seconds and you're in the top of fifth when you get there. And he said he's running low tens at 140 miles an hour.
That's insane.
We went that fast, allegedly.
Close course.
Close course. We went that fast, allegedly, and it is very, very intense.
That sounded just like the Petrolicious drive-by. I think that's what they used.
My palms were super sweaty by the end of the drive. It was very, wait till you see this video. It's so gnarly. And actually, we made a video with the all-wheel drive car with Zach driving too. And it was a little underbraked. And so it was a little hairy for, you know, Zach is a very good driver as well. And he's really carrying some speed. And I was a little lazy with setting my harnesses. And they weren't as tight as they could be. And Zach was kind of pushing the limits of the brakes a little bit. And
we had a lot of room.
I was like,
I mean, if we ran out of room, we'd have a problem.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of room.
You always have enough room until you don't.
Very empty car.
Man.
I mean, I should say, like, it's in the video, but they didn't, the car I drove, they didn't fully build. They were just like tuning it for somebody. It was built by somebody else.
The full story is I drove the car I was supposed to drive, the red car.
Correct.
The car Zach was supposed to drive was a fucking stunning, was it that blue one? It was a stunning classic Mini with a Ford 1 liter EcoBoost swap.
Oh, whoa.
And so it had that EcoBoost powertrain, keyless start, but it also had like all this beautiful suspension work, and it had baseball glove interior, like Rawlings baseball.
Oh, wow.
It was beautiful.
Really, really good looking
the
car.
The dude who invited us out, who worked at the shop, was testing it the day before we got out there and got rear-ended by somebody, and the unibodies totaled. So the good news, and it was a customer car.
Ugh. Oh, no.
Yeah, disaster. There it is, hiding in the back of that picture there.
It's a bummer.
But the good news is they can get a new unibody, and because it's front drive, everything else can just go right on the new unibody, and it's like totally salvageable and not like the end of the world. But it meant Zach had to drive backup cars, so they're like, we have these 7 other cars, and the most interesting one was the all-wheel drive.
Yeah, because they had a couple original ones which are the story is interesting, but they're like 40-60 horsepower.
That yellow one was kind of cool.
It'd be good before after to drive like the same car. And they had an original turbo car, which was the most powerful car that that the British Motoring Company ever made, like in the original Minis, which is only like 100-110.
Uh-huh.
And it's just funny that like that was like the most that they were like, this is okay. Anything more than this, you're out of your mind. And then these guys are like, what about 5 times that? Have some bookers and make some ideas.
It really made me also just really confident in that power, like that engine and combo. Like I would really be considering that for any type of like performance application I was building, because it was massive power delivery out of a fairly mundane engine with a basic bolt-on, you know, Rotrex power.
It has some really good like wastegate sounds too. It had a lot of good sounds to it.
The
power
drive
output.
The V6 one. It was really crazy. Those guys at Gildred did a fantastic job. I mean, they built that one, and they're like, we'd build one just like this for a customer. They said it would probably be like 150 G's to build that. Honestly, worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. To be able to write a check for. Dude, he brought that motherfucker on Fastest Car on Netflix, and he won the drag race.
Oh.
He beat our friend Amber in a McLaren LT in a drag race in that fucking Mini. Shifting.
Fuck, man.
That's a motherfucker right there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's baller.
Amber had a 675 LT with launch control.
And the other car was like a turbo GTO and something else. Like it beat some serious stuff, and it's just. It was such a memorable experience.
I'll tell you
what.
I
can't say that about every car I drive.
If I owned a Singer 911, I wouldn't line it up against that in a race. On a road course, all day.
Yeah, yeah.
But in a drag race,
man. So it puts the power down.
Fuck, it squats.
So bananas.
And it had a really good clutch engagement. Like when I launched it, like you didn't have to dump it. Like you could kind of like engage, go. Like you know what I mean? When it rolled an inch, you could go the rest of the way and just.
Yeah.
I would say, in hindsight, I was thinking about it because the steering was really twitchy when you transfer the weight forward. In hindsight, I would say, because I think they're running a square stance. They had big, fatty front tires.
Mm-hmm.
Take 20 or 30 millimeters out of the front tires.
Yep.
Because understeer was not the problem. The problem was extremely aggressive turning.
It always steered more than you thought. It had plenty of steer.
It's like,
we're all full on steer.
Yeah, yeah. Like, do you think your 930 turbo is just too mundane and sedate? Are you comfortable with the handling characteristics of the 911 GT2 on worn tires and need a new experience?
So this who's the customer that would buy this?
They said one of the problems is It's not like 9/11 people where they'll spend all the money. You've got a couple of guys who are out of their minds, and everyone else wants to keep things pretty reasonable and affordable.
Because I feel like there's a lot of mini purists out there that, you know, wouldn't touch anything like that. But
these guys say different. These guys say different. They say mini owners are not that pure.
Oh.
And are, I mean, more,
they made
them
for 40 years. And, like, you know, they kind of got their name with rally and other racing. And so I think, like Porsche, a lot of people came to love them. It's like two groups. Some came to love them because of how they performed, and some came to love them because they were just these cute little good econo boxes. So I think there's enough of them that you can find people in both camps.
Yeah.
I could definitely tell you that if I had all the money, 1,000% would I want one of these. And I'd want someone like a Lee or a, like a really good racing driver to set up the suspension and the handling. But like, there's no reason I wouldn't want to own something like that. If I had the money for 150 Gs, that's a value.
I'd like to drive one with like a really good front engine one that has 150 to 250 horsepower to see what that flavor's like. Because I think the rear engine, it feels great. It's really cool. But I would just be curious what they feel like when they're
But it's not
a little
the
more
formula,
traditional.
You know?
Right.
That, you know what would have been great for that? The 1 liter
it been, yeah, it would have been.
It was really sad. Yeah. Homie, literally the night before we went there, sent me a picture of the car with, it didn't look that bad. Like the rear hatch was kind of smashed in and the taillights.
Yeah.
Like it was definitely drivable, but it was fucked. It was not the kind of thing you would feature in a video. And then the next picture he sent was him in a hospital bed with a neck brace on. Because, like, no headrests.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? Old mini, no fucking headrests.
Brutal.
But these guys were, you know, as they were a class act, man.
They really were.
I really respected what they were doing up there, and they really put a lot of pride and finish behind their products, which I really appreciated. And they said the next move is to build a new powertrain. They like this V6 setup a lot, but apparently you can get a Honda K20 or K24 with this Rotrex on it and make almost as much power, but like 150 pounds less, and still put that in the back.
Yeah.
Which they say is possibly the better setup. It might have less effect on the weight transfer. Fucking nuts, dude.
Really nuts. Really cool.
Highly recommend if you get a chance to go check these guys out. They're in Buellton. Oh, there's the all-wheel drive car, isn't it? Or is that the 1 liter?
No, it's left? actually.
Isn't that the all-wheel drive?
No, similar paint scheme.
They're in Buellton, which is kind of in the middle of nowhere, but it's by Solvang, and you can go drink wine.
Grab some pea soup.
Pea soup. It's by the emu farm.
Okay.
You know the emu farm? You can go pet emus and shit.
Whoa.
Zach, pull this over. Here's a side-by-side. The blue car that Zach is driving, that's the all-wheel drive car.
It's got, the fenders are like twice as wide as the 500 horsepower one, which is kind of nuts.
Yeah.
It's about 2 to 3 inches longer. They hit it pretty well.
They channel that front bonnet and they extend the nose like 3 inches to fit the all-wheel drive.
So, I mean,
you'd have
still
to
tiny.
Park one next to another mini to tell the difference, though.
Yeah,
it's pretty. Can you play the drive-by? You got the audio? Sounds like a Honda.
Yeah, sounded good. Sounded good, man. I'm into it.
Yep.
I've only ever driven like kind of a regular mini. I've never driven a crazy one, and so I really really appreciate it.
But an old one.
I've driven an old one. Yeah.
I really like the way they look. I'm really into it. I'd never driven an original one or a classic one like that before, or been around them like that. But
I liked how roomy it was. I mean, it was a little tight when Zach and I were like next to each other, but I was in that red car by myself, like totally decent.
Yeah. You had so much headroom.
Yeah.
You had lots and lots of headroom.
Lots of headroom, lots of legroom. And it had those really great 80s Recaro seats with the basket weave headrests.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So comfortable. It was really nice.
When they made the car, the idea was it had to fit 4 people, but they wanted to be 4 adults specifically. So it wasn't like a 2+2 where it's like, oh, yeah, and behind you can sit a tiny teacup poodle, and that's a child. It's like 4 adults. I mean, your knees would be up a bit if you're behind a tall person, but they still, that
four
was their
Brits,
goal.
4 Brits, too. More taller brand. Not like
that's true.
Fiats, really. Let's put 2 Italian guys in the back.
Very
like,
true.
Yeah, we're good.
5'7".
Yeah.
The average height.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah, what a cool day that was. I really, really like that. It's not off. Oh, there's the baseball glove leather seats that Zach didn't get to sit in. But look how nice that is. I mean, that's fucking fantastic.
Really good
leather work. Oh, there's a whole thing.
There's a whole unveiling happening.
There's a whole thing happening there.
Man, so tiny.
They're so little.
Have you been out anything cool recently, Ralph?
I did. Like for what? For
like in cars?
Cars? No.
Have you been in any interesting trim lately?
Ooh, different question.
No, stay with cars. Stay with cars.
What have I been in? At work at Racing Junk where I work, we found a in the garage. It's a Camaro that was repossessed. It's a 45th anniversary Camaro, and we're trying to get. It's in this weird, like, we don't own it. Like, we kind of own it. The bank doesn't own it. This weird limbo. Like, I can't touch the streets until.
Does the bank exist still? It's a bank.
Yeah.
You've communicated. Okay,
the bank was like, hey, you guys, this is yours. You deal with this.
So, can you get a title bond? That's the move.
Yeah.
I didn't learn about that until recently. What a pain in the ass those are.
Dude. But, the problem is that our umbrella company just acquired WebMD. So, like, their value jacked way up. So, they're worried about us driving the car, getting in an accident.
Exposure.
People are like, hey, you guys own WebMD. Boom. We hit you with a,
Oof.
So, that's kind of, like, the problem right now. But, like, we were trying to, like, figure out some because we're at MPMC where, you're like, hey, we're media. We want to, get some part, a blower for this thing. So let's go to QA1. Let's get some suspension for it or whatever. But, like, we don't really know if we have it or not. So it's, like, the big thing.
When I bought my DeLorean, I bought it out of a storage unit. And the guy, the first owner, had bought it. He obviously had some problems with it because there was a lot of receipts for repair visits in the first year.
Yeah.
When the company went bankrupt, he had a loan on this car. So he stuck it in a storage unit, and I don't really know what happened.
Yeah.
But when I bought it, there was still a lien on the car from a bank that doesn't exist anymore. I had to go get a title bond against the car. So it was paid 10% of the car's value to this bond. I get the title, but if someone shows up later and says, no, this is really my car, they pay them off.
Oh, wow.
That's how that shit works. I'd never even heard of that before.
Weird.
Yeah, it was super weird. For people who've never heard of what Racing Junk is, because I know what it is, and it's awesome. What's Racing Junk?
It's primarily a classified site, right? So, they sell everything from, race cars, tracks.
Cars,
trailers, parts.
He did say tracks, people.
There are tracks. There's a dude on the site that's trying to trade his private island. He's been trying to trade it for so long, the car keeps changing. It was like a GT, G2 RS. Like, if you type in...
I want to trade my island for a G2 RS.
Type in island in the search, and he keeps changing the car. Yeah, so...
So these are all... This is want to trade?
He wants one of an Aventador.
Oh, my
Aventador.
God.
So this guy wants to trade his island for an Aventador. Private island for sale, 3 acres, survey ready for development, south of Dunlawton Causeway in Florida. $1 million valuation. He puts it out.
See how much island you can get with a Countach.
Bro, I'll trade for his island.
Wait, this is $1 million island, but he'll trade it for a 2019 Aventador.
Why won't he just buy a fucking Aventador? Aventador is $400,000. What are you doing?
I think the price is just whatever. I think he's just like.
I like that you can buy one of the most interesting things.
Also, check out that hauler. Love this hauler.
Haulers. One of the most interesting things I've ever found on Racing Junk is an entire race team.
Oh my God.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Where it's like, 2 cars, 10 engines, a transporter, 15 sets of wheels, and it's like $35,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, get me out of this immediately.
This is a great site because, like, I don't know, before I found it a long time ago, I didn't really think of Where do people get like funny cars? Like, I guess they just build them, or they go to the funny car store, and it's like you got the categories
What's a great search term on Racing Junk, Ralph? Like, car is a good one.
I mean, I always go to there's other monster truck.
Oh yeah, other's got to be a great place to fucking look.
Other racing items.
Other racing items.
Oh,
it's,
dude, there's the people put the weirdest shit on here.
Oh my god, I love it.
It's hilarious.
That's
like
a truck. Oh, we'll go to racing apparel.
You can just go down. And has everything.
Oh
yeah, just yeah,
just all kinds of
people put the most
CO2
random
bottles, wheels.
I'm sure someone's got a track.
North Star Speedway. That's a track, right?
Yeah,
North Star Speedway, Palmer, Alaska.
It's in Alaska.
Alaska. Pull that up.
Alaska racing.
Alaska. 749 grand. We were talking about this last week. That dude Cletus McFarland bought a track in Florida. It seems like it's a pretty crappy track, but fuck it, it's a track.
Oh dude, yeah, it'd be so fun.
What's up with that? What's up with this track, Zach? For 900 G's in Alaska, and
this
looks
is
like
literally the only photo.
Who sells a track without a picture of the track?
The guy before it, I think.
Fucking dumbass.
There's a different ad here. Sandia Motorsports.
There you go.
Oh wow, look at that.
Oh man,
2.4 million. That's a real track. That's got a road
course.
That's
several tracks.
There's an oval. There's a dirt track. There's a skid pad. Wow.
I love it. I love when people go like, we got the shack stand. You hook up with some chili dogs, some chili burgers.
That's great. 2.4 million? I mean, that's a lot of track for 2.4 million. All right.
Where is that place? That would be Albuquerque.
That's not the worst. Cool. That's not the worst.
Wow, that's...
I mean,
dirt
it's almost
better conditions than Alaska.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, that's a Civic race car for $9,000. Yeah. I mean, you can waste a lot of time on this site.
Yeah. Absolutely. 100%.
And also, secondhand trailers and tools and stuff like that are very affordable.
The number one thing people buy are trailers.
Trailers.
Trailers and toter homes and monster trucks.
Really?
Yeah.
Why monster
it's
trucks?
Search term, at least.
Really?
People just love just looking at monster trucks. I think there was someone who did an Aerostar. It was
an
Aerostar with tracks.
Oh my god!
I don't know if the guy.
Oh,
there it is.
Shit.
There it is.
That's not I wouldn't even call those tracks. Like
those are
like when you say tracks, I think like the Matt tracks, like Ken Block puts on his Raptor.
No,
that's a tank.
Tank.
Well, those look like the thing on that Ripper, the saw thing they made for Fast and Furious. But the ad just says tank, 110,000. You click on it, and then it's a white Ford Aerostar van with giant angry tracks on either side.
Oh my god, that's amazing. Yeah. Well, bravo to whoever built that.
Oh, check out the
my
big
god.
Block
well, blown. It's a fucking giant Chevy motor. It's got
That's
hysterical.
At least two.
Are there two of them?
It's at least two motors.
Yeah, it would be, right.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think there's a picture of it.
Very light on details. It's kind of funny.
That's
you kind of just have to show the picture, and you either have the money or you don't.
Wait, it says, from famous racing team you all know.
I think it's Bigfoot.
And
I
then
think it's,
restored.
I think it's Bigfoot's team.
Restored by
I could
Overtime.
Be wrong.
That's wow. I just went to Monster Jam a couple weeks ago for the first time ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was pretty fun. Wow, it's a flip top.
Jeez.
Cool. I just went to Monster Jam for the first time ever. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it's about 30 exciting minutes stretched out to 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And also there was an overtly political swipe at Colin Kaepernick before they started, which I thought was a little cold, especially for Los Angeles.
Yeah, but I mean, everywhere outside of Los Angeles.
Right. I then found out that it's a Disney property. Basically, I then found out that there's 8 Monster Jams that operate around the country.
What a dope name, too.
They have, and they have a really interesting business model, which is that they rent baseball stadiums all winter. So they've rented like Dodger Stadium for a month, and they do like 20 dates over a month. And in between Monster Jam, they'll do like Supercross and these dirt, and it's all these series. And so they fill the stadium with dirt for the entire season.
I mean, everyone wins.
Everybody wins. It was kind of cool. I mean, the freestyle portion of
it
was pretty cool.
Amazing and insane.
Yeah.
Like the stuff they do now. I mean, if you follow Hoonigan on Instagram or Son of a Digger, we filmed a bit for Drive on NBC Sports this past year where Spinelli got to drive a truck at Monster Jam University. Like, it's 1,500 horsepower, and there's no training car before that. They're just like, and we're like, how different is this from the actual competition truck? And Tom's like, same frame, same stuff, like, same engine. It's just a lot of it is like spec for the competition.
It doesn't seem like a training sport. It's kind of like, hey, you want to get in and fucking go? Let's go, dude.
How many times are you comfortable rolling? I mean, really,
I think there's that level, and then there's like, you watch Son of a Digger where they'll like land in a jump, and then the front wheels come up, and then they can like, I don't know, hit the brake and then turn like a nose wheelie and then just inch forward. Like you're staring at the ground holding 1,500 horsepower, like just delicately
moving.
And they're
dancing. They're just tiptoeing, man.
It's cool, but it's... But they could condense.
Well, here's the thing. It's for people that put down 15 beers. It's not for people that sip on Booker's.
And their sub-5-year-old children.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much... Dude, wow, 85 Gs for that fucking send it. Old school.
Into it.
So that's a full on monster truck with like 18 shocks per corner.
Yeah.
And it's called the Alberta Outlaw. It's like an old school, like 40s body. Love it. 85 grand, man.
Yeah, man.
It's a good time. You need like six people to run it, from what I've seen, but.
Do you need to? Why do you need six people to run it?
I mean, not you need people to like help you, you know, start like maintain it. Everything's very big. I took a photo of the bolts on that thing. Like they are like this microphone stand. They're fucking humongous. Yeah, yeah.
Here's a jet truck for 90 G's. Yeah. Looks like a fire truck that's got a fucking jet engine at the back
of it. There's a guy selling his, maybe not anymore, but it was a school bus drag racing team. Like, yeah, for like,
with the
you get
the
whole
thing.
You get the whole team, yeah. Yeah,
you get the team.
You get the whole, like the whole operation, or whatever it is, like to send them to, you know, take it to a middle school and have kids fucking freak out or whatever.
By the way, this is the only fire truck I think that really actually accurately represents the name fire truck.
Yeah, that when I was 5 years old and I heard that fire truck, I'm like, that's what I imagine.
Yeah,
it shoots fire at the fire to take out the fire.
I like whenever in a movie they talk about there's a fire and they talk about lighting a huge bomb to stop the fire.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot of monster trucks on Racing Junk.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really pick your monster truck.
I mean, there's so much that I don't even know about, like the swamp drags and like the all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like at the Redneck Yacht Club. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's where
a different
if you've never heard
breed.
Of that. That's basically where you put like huge tires on your diesel bro truck and drive it through a swamp.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Y'all talking about mud racing?
Oh, yeah. Mud bogger. 30 Gs. Chevy Colorado mud bogger.
Yeah, you got to see these guys at freaking... they're all at King of the Hammers. They're all freaking blowing through.
That thing is pretty cool.
Blasting Kid Rock.
Well, that was... Remember the video of the Sherp that, like, we went to a mud bog and everyone was just like, what's this thing? And it made it across. Like, all these trucks were getting stuck because it, like, it just floats across it. Kind of cheats.
Fuck. Has anyone... Can you search for Sherp, Zach? Has anyone resold a Sherp yet? I don't know. I can't imagine buying a Sherp and then deciding you're unhappy with it. Yep, zero results. Mm. Those things, have you seen the new Sherp Arc? We talked about this earlier. So, you know what a Sherp is, right?
It's like
the Russian thing
that
like floats and goes through like frozen ice and stuff. So, they came out with this thing called the Sherp Arc, which turns this 4x4 Sherp into a 10x10 cab and powered trailer
that has
the same capabilities that a regular Sherp has. 10x10.
It's how much do those go for?
It's like 300 grand or something.
Okay. That's actually less than I thought.
No, yeah. Everything about Sherp is way less expensive than you think it's going to be.
I thought it was like 800 grand.
No. A regular Sherp is 119,000 bucks.
What? That's it?
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't know that?
Nope.
Yeah. Regular Sherp is like shockingly cheap.
Whoa.
Why did I think it was like $400,000?
That's what I thought. I said when he told me how cheap, I go, or let's turn off the cameras. I go, dude, are you aware of how short you're selling yourself? And he said something about how they're very honorable people in Bemidji, Minnesota, and he didn't want to mark it up. He said he wanted to match the global price of them.
Oh.
So, all right. So that's the price. Right.
Okay.
Cool.
But it's only $119,000, which for one of those, fucking kidding me? That's amazing.
I feel like there's some like those gnarlier armor, not gnarlier, but there's some gnarly armored trucks that are like, what's that one that's based
off? Well, Sherp's not armored.
No.
It's not armored.
It's not?
No. I mean, it floats and stuff, but it's not armored in terms of like military armor.
Oh.
No. The Knight is the armored one. The Knight Conquest or something like that. Knight XV.
That's
some
the
shit.
One that's based off the F-350 or something like that.
And then there's a version of that. There's something called the USSV Rhino that looks just like that, but is not actually armored. Oh, that's the poser one.
Someone has that in Playa Vista that I see driving around.
No fucking way.
Yeah. You guys haven't seen him driving down?
No.
Maybe he was.
And there's one called
player.
A Gurkha too, which
the
is
Gurkha,
the same thing. Yeah,
yeah,
it's basically the same. The
Gurkha's terrible cigars.
The Terradyne Gurkha
is
the is the other one. That one's actually armored, but there's one that's not armored.
That was playing Forza. That was the most disappointing thing I ever bought.
Refill?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because they don't. It's a truck. Yeah. It's not actually.
No,
fun.
But I was like, you know what? You know, I'll take 600 pounds off of it. And
super legit Gurkha Super Leggera.
Yeah, dude, it's like so stupid.
Hey, folks, if you want to fucking talk to us, get in the super chat. We'll get to your questions in just a second. Cheers, Ralph.
Cheers,
thanks
bud.
Thanks for coming to visit us, dude.
Yeah, man.
How's the comedy world treating you?
Good, man. I'm going to Connecticut for the first time.
Where in Connecticut?
Hartford.
Oh, nice. Shithole.
Never been there.
Watch some Judging Amy.
Really?
It's a show about Hartford.
Oh, no.
No, Hartford's all right.
Yeah.
They actually have a good... What club are you doing?
The Funny Bone, I think.
That's a good club, actually.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Yeah.
That'll be cool.
Hartford. I'm doing a lot of weird... Like Jacksonville.
Is that... Wow, look at your website.
Yeah, man.
Wow, you look like the fat Jew there.
Yeah, well...
You look like the after picture.
But he actually... Yeah,
you look like
he
the
makes
after
comedy.
Picture
yeah,
in
comedy.
The
I make. Yeah, I make original content,
that's
okay?
Ralph
what
makes was,
what movie did we just see the fat Jew make a terrible cameo in? I just saw him make an awful cameo in something. Fuck.
I don't know. He was
not
in that American
Meme
documentary, but that was something else.
Oh, God damn it.
He sold White Girl Rosé, though, for $400
million,
which I can't really discredit him for doing.
$400 million?
A lot.
He, like,
a lot,
unapologetically is like, I don't give a fuck. I'm stealing content. I'm doing this, and I'm popping off, and I'm selling rosé, and I'm like,
I mean,
all right.
At least he didn't steal a rosé that we know. Like,
no.
I was mad about the comedy thing, but I was really glad that the community came out and, like, kind of squashed his Comedy Central deal really
quickly. I mean,
because
he partnered with, I think, Paris Hilton, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they worked together. And, yeah. But now it's like, all right, you made a product, you made a business, totally fine.
Yeah.
But it was
you get do-overs, just not with that
just
thing.
Not with that.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
And some people, like, and the comedy community tried hard to cancel him. Like, they tried hard.
Yeah.
Like, get rid of this dude, da-da-da. Like, they're trying to, like, you know, people are, like, picketing his shows and stuff.
Oh,
like,
really?
And then, but, like, you just couldn't kill him.
I mean, when you sell wine, when you're a drug dealer, you win.
Do you get, like, worried about that? Because, like, with, like, going, like, because you've been doing this podcast for, what, 8 years?
9 years? Yeah. Is this episode 501? We're episode 501 today.
You know, you're not, like, weirded out by, like, some guy going into the archives and finding some weird shit you said and, like...
No. I'm not. I'm not running for office. I don't work for anybody.
Yeah.
And honestly... I mean, there's some shit that I would probably cringe if we went back and listened to
it. Oh, for sure.
But
yeah, me too.
I don't think I've ever said anything that's that offensive or transphobic or anything like that where I'd really be like, oh, God, no.
Yeah.
No, I think anytime we did stuff like whatever that could be looked at badly, I mean, it's kind of appropriate. We're listening to Joe Rogan discussing people accusing him of being transphobic. We listened to this yesterday.
Yeah.
But he's just
with
like,
Mark
yeah,
Norman.
Like, he's, you know, if you're trying to be funny, we're always on this show trying to be funny, entertaining, especially the first couple of years. We were like drinking and smoking weed and whatever, and it was like, let's go down this avenue. And if we're all laughing, it's funny. Like that's what we were doing. So I don't think any of us are going, well, these were the principles we stood behind, and we wrote a constitution about it. It's like, no, that was three moonshines.
A lot of people think it's everything's about to switch. Like the PC is going to start. You know, because it's, you know, Hollywood's getting tired of it. You know,
wait. What do you mean?
I'm saying the people that are making decisions.
Oh, you think there will be a backlash against the Me Too thing? Is that what you're saying?
I wouldn't say backlash against Me Too. I would say that, like, as far as just like being politically correct, is gonna. I mean, I think especially with like the Dave Chappelle special and the Bill Burr special, like really like pushing against the grain.
No, Dave. I thought his special was really funny. I mean,
it was
really
great.
There was a bunch of critics that talk shit, and then he won a fucking Emmy. Was it Emmy or Golden Globe?
He won a Grammy and then the Mark Twain Award.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a great special, but it was like something that it was the first special to start tipping.
Yeah, I didn't love his Louis joke. I didn't think that was a great joke. I thought he.
Yeah.
You know what's weird about the Louis? Well, what's weird about the Louis thing is, I've talked to a few comics. It's weird because the Louis thing apparently was super well known.
Everyone knew
among
about it.
Comics.
Everyone knew about it.
Okay, everyone who's a comic knew about it. If you weren't a comic, I didn't. I'm not a comic. I didn't know about it. So to me, it was weird because Louis's entire act, which I loved, was all this sort of wink, wink. Here's all this horrible shit we're thinking.
Yeah.
Thank God we're all just thinking it. No one's doing it.
Yeah.
But then he's actually doing some creepy shit. And so that kind of breaks down that basis of his comedy, which is we're all thinking this creepy shit. Thank God we're not acting on it.
Yeah, you write a joke about jumping out of traffic and killing the dude in front of you.
Yeah. It's only funny because you're not doing it.
Yeah.
If they find out later you're doing it.
Just murdering people in BMWs.
Jesus. You go, wow, he was joking for years about being a total sexual deviant. Yeah. And like, hold on a second. He's actually a total sexual deviant?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't really reconcile with me.
Yeah.
You know, so that's...
Exactly, 100%.
That is kind of why I didn't like Dave's joke about it, but I thought, but that's fine. I didn't go on Twitter and say nobody watches shit. Like,
which is
not everybody has to like
that
everything.
That is 100% the perfect reaction to that. To a joke that you don't like, think
no,
is funny.
I have a reasonable disagreement with this, and I'm going to go about my life.
But
now.
Guess what? You still think Dave Chappelle's funny. You just didn't like that joke.
He did 40 jokes, right?
Yeah,
and that's it. And there were a couple where I was going, whoo, and then laughed really hard.
Yeah.
The jokes are so good. But it's like, if you don't like one, but you like 39.
What a ratio.
What's the ratio?
Dude, comics are allowed
do you
to,
have
fucking,
to
miss?
Fucking be.
No, comics are allowed to miss. Absolutely, they're allowed to miss. And I don't think, but I just think... I have a weird thing with the forgiveness of Louis by comics because I guess it's because they all knew about it and the rest of us didn't. But
biggest thing for me is like
still fucking weird.
Because like for me is like I would see so many comics that would talk shit about him afterwards, but those were the same guys that if Louis's like, hey, would you open for me in here? They go, yep.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just like classic power struggle.
Hollywood
thing, right?
Money, freelance gigs. You know what? You know it's tough
climbing the ladder.
I know it's a weird world. But
it's weird. It's weird. I mean, you know, you guys are in a different but sort of parallel world. But like,
can't get fired. Productions.
Yeah,
chairman.
You know what I mean?
We're here.
Yeah,
you ain't canceling this. We're here. I got a connection to the internet and a microphone. I'm good.
It's tough, man, because especially like it's in like entertainment, like you meet so many people and you're like, oh, this is cool. This guy's dope. This guy's my friend. And then all of a sudden it's like, nope, this guy, you know, had a better opportunity or this or like, you know, then they start talking to these people because I want to be seen with these people and not these people. It's like it's a weird world.
Yeah.
Every like comic has a very tight circle of comic friends. Very tight.
Joe has been so nice to me and introduced me to some of his friends, and they've all been the nicest people. Well, I've never felt cooler than him taking me in the back bar of the Comedy Store. The comics bar in
the
seat in the
back.
The back bar. I'm like, oh, this is fucking
heaven. Where all the cooks are hanging out.
This is fucking heaven back here, dude. It was like Brad Williams back there dressed as Abraham Lincoln. I'm like, what the fuck is going on right now? It's weird.
Yeah.
That's definitely.
And he's another person that got fucking
Joe.
No, Brad Williams.
What did he do? Allegedly,
it was like 6 or 7 years ago. He was on a podcast, and I could be wrong, but he was talking about this joke where he was opening for Carlos Mencia, and he had this joke where. It was getting high, getting dug with high. So he was on that podcast, and they were talking about stories. And he's talking about Carlos Mencia would be in the room with the girl having sex, and then he would like tag Brad in, and so then Brad would be having sex with his girl, and then everyone was just kind of like really quiet, and then Brad just like nervously laughed and was like, okay, well that's it. So that was like 7 years ago, and then someone pulled it up from the archives and was like, oh, this guy raped a girl.
Oh, I guess that could be interpreted in a very rapey way.
Yeah
that's true.
It was just, was he being serious or was there a joke of like,
so that was
how
the joke that he thought
difference?
Yeah.
He was trying to, so he was saying he was trying to to fit in and have a funny joke and make people laugh. And but everyone's like, oh, you were serious, like this and this, and it's just a big thing.
Yeah,
his,
I guess
it was such bad timing too. It's like his kid was just born and this thing comes out, and like, I mean, so many people were behind him, but like, it's just like a.
That's, I suppose, the actual facts of that event matter more than the joke in that play. You know what I mean? But I don't know. But that yeah, okay.
Yeah.
He was, he's still kind of canceled, I guess, because he was dressed as Abraham Lincoln in the back bar of the fucking thing. He was not doing his own material.
To me, it's like, I'm like, there's no way a girl would confuse the two of those people.
Yeah.
So like, that's the easy joke, right?
The
like,
it's a joke. Have you ever seen the movie Pirate Radio? It's a joke in Pirate Radio. It's kind of a rapey joke, but it's a joke in Pirate Radio.
I mean, that was the sex joke growing up, was the poltergeist.
Yeah, the switcheroo.
And then you're
joke.
Waving at them from the thing, and everyone thought that was the funniest thing in 2002. That's rape now. But
well, I think it was, yeah, but.
Well, it's rape then.
but yeah.
Well, here's the thing. It was, joke.
Right.
But now you can't joke about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But with fucking, the most recent one they were talking about when I was at the Comedy Store was Ari Shaffir
and
what he said about Kobe, which actually King Joe did express some disapproval over. He was like, ooh, that one was gnarly. And I guess whenever some celebrity dies, he writes really mean things about them. I think that's a thing he does. Or at least it was presented to me as a thing that he does.
You know, yeah, I don't follow him close enough to know that.
I don't either, but that's what Joe said. And I'm going to take Joe at his word there.
Yeah.
And I guess he got something to the effect of 20,000 death threats. And there were death threats being phoned into the Comedy Store. The bartender at the Comedy Store was like, yeah, the people have been calling here with death threats for Ari. Like, whoa.
Yeah, he shut down all of his so many dates and his
agent, did he really?
His agent dropped him. Like,
fuck out of here, his agent dropped him?
They canceled a special, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Everything.
Well, maybe he did find out where the line is. I guess he found it.
Yeah, I mean, it's because
the daughter died and all these other non-famous people. You know, it's like,
yeah, even people that toe the line were like,
yeah, no, even Joe, who is like the ultimate defender of all comedy attempts, no matter how much, he was like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't say that like he shouldn't be allowed to do it. He didn't go that far, but he was like, that was some shit.
And then here's the thing. He opened the window for all these people that didn't even know who Ari Shaffir was. And then when you've never seen Ari Shaffir's act and you jump into what he's known for
and
you jump into like the Amazing Racist and all that and you pull that out of context, you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. No, if they pull a compilation video together, it's not going to be fucking good.
I played at a comics basketball league with him, and his number was 9/11. That's Ari Shaffir.
That's gnarly.
Yeah. He was actually really good.
At basketball?
He was actually really good.
Really? Remember when there was a fucking video of Adam Sandler passing the fucking basketball, and it got like 3 million views?
It was a good pass, man.
It was a good pass.
He balls.
Let's go to the fucking people. What do we got? Was that Joe Leonard? Is that what that says, Zach?
Yep.
Sorry. I read that name totally wrong.
No, you're right.
I didn't. Oh, Joe Leonard said Mark Norman mentioned he would be on the podcast on Rogan recently. Will he be joining us soon? He will. I hung out with Mark Norman last week. I didn't want to ask anything of him. I heard him talking about cars on Rogan, and he knew what he was talking about. He knew his shit, and I was like, Joe, give me the number. And so I hit up Mark Norman, and he came out on Lamborghini Exercise Day with me, and we had a lovely little afternoon. And yes, next time he's in town, he's going to join us on the program. Mark was great. Check out his appearance on Rogan. It was very good. He's a fucking funny guy, man. I like that dude a lot. And he knows his cars. He's good. Josh says, I have $7,000 worth of automotive fun money. I've got a stock Fiesta ST I love, and I want to keep it a long time, but I want a bike again. Should I go half on a Cobb Stage 3 kit for the Fiesta and half on the bike, or leave the Fiesta alone and get a nicer bike? Ooh, I like your thought process, Josh. I have to say, we had no regrets on the Cobb Stage 3 package on the Fiesta ST. The one thing you don't want to do with the Fiesta ST is fuck with your suspension. They really nailed that from the factory. We did some things with our suspension. It didn't necessarily make it handle any better. It did make it a little creakier over driveways.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So the question is, is a $7,000 motorcycle a way better experience than a $3,500 motorcycle?
I guess it depends what you get, right? I mean,
depends what you get. I mean, I think $3,000 is pretty low for a bike. $4,000 or $5,000 is where bikes start getting to be like nice.
Yeah.
So I mean, like,
it depends on what. I'm assuming he's talking about crotch rockets. Just yeah. If you drive a Fiesta probably. ST, you're probably young enough that that's what you want. Yeah, three's kind of cheap. What if you did Cobb Stage 2? Don't go three. No, I mean that.
Yeah, you're really cutting
Stage 2 is down pipe. Like, yeah, you're going to get a good amount of power. You just don't have the intercooler, right? That's what you don't get?
I believe the difference is the intercooler, I think.
Your top end will be very much improved with Stage 2 with a better down pipe and a new tune and stuff. So you'll get like a lot more power and torque. And then you have 5Gs and maybe you could find something in the middle.
Yeah. Like, yeah, four, five, six is where you start getting decent.
Cut the difference there.
Use Gixxer. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really know what used spork bikes go for, but like, the difference between 4 and 7 is significant.
Well, what's funny about bikes is you can spend $2,000 and get like a 1990 liter bike that has 180 horsepower and will go in a straight line like almost as fast as a new one, but it won't turn or stop as well.
I've been looking for CBXs and they're tough to find, man. Everyone wants a lot of money for them, and I don't want to spend a lot of money on one. But yeah, I'm with you. What is it? Can you read? I can't read.
Yeah,
exactly.
Ryukachu, what's up, man? Good to see you again. He's here like every time. Thoughts on Bizimoto's bonkers EV 935 and on noise. How about piping real-time EV motor noise into the cabin? Tesla drive units actually scream pretty good at wide open throttle. The cars are just too deadened.
You know, we saw, if you pull up my gram, Zach, I was at Porsche Experience Center last weekend, and I saw Bizzy's 935. There it is on the right. So this thing is very, very cool. It's based on a 1980, I think, 911 SC, 80 or 81, and he's removed everything, and he's put in a Tesla rear drive unit and a nice battery, and it's apparently it weighs 2,200 pounds. He said it's the fastest car he's ever built in a straight line.
Which says something for him.
Yeah, it's a single speed, forward and reverse, and he said it has manual brakes. I could have fucking punched him.
Wow.
He loves that, doesn't he?
He loves his fucking manual brakes. I keep telling this guy, Bizzy, does it have real brakes? He goes, Matt, you're going to kill me? He's Nigerian. He speaks like he's doing voiceover. Yeah. He goes, Matt, you're going to kill me? I have put manual brakes for maximum feel. And I go, I fucking hate you, Bizzy.
There's plenty of powered brakes that have great feel, by the way.
I know. But he did say that he said when it is ready and dialed in, that I may have a go. And he did say in front of another media outlet that I can have a go first. So okay. I will be the first person to drive this thing. I'm very excited by it. It was so cool when he rolled up in it because, I mean, it looks
amazing.
It looks like the kind of thing that should have this hot idle, you know, and be burning race gas
with
and all this
snub nose.
Yeah, and then he rolled up just nice and silent, and I saw him give it a little squirt at the throttle, and man, it scooted out. It fucking got going. It was cool, man.
Drag race the Tesla sand truck because that thing weighs 2,400 pounds. Like, it's kind of nuts to look at that and the truck and go, well, how do these things weigh the same and have the same power plant?
Yeah.
Just for very different purposes.
Really interesting stuff. But yeah, we will be having a go. Yes. And the second part of his question, plumbing in EV noise. So the Taycan has this sort of Jetsons, it's literally like the Jetsons
really?
Car. Yeah. Cool. Like, it's a friendly whir that is actually really, really pleasant.
I think that's how you could describe me losing my virginity when I was 16. Just a friendly whir is like, is this okay?
Yeah. And then,
I feel like with EVs, I feel like fucking Elon's dropped all these stupid little apps. It would be a cool thing if there was an app that would overdub classic engine noises or
add
various noises,
right?
Because yeah, I don't be think
fun. Start like, that app, homie.
Like the Tesla motor is not that loud because the truck I drove had no body. It was a frame with an engine. Like yeah. No one can hear that motor better than I could, and it just kind of goes.
Yeah,
like, it's not
just
that
like
loud.
A light gear whine,
yeah,
right?
Very light gear whine. Yeah. So I think someone needs to start like creating those sounds and yeah. You know, matching them to your speed and throttle. That's got to be something that's
like, you know,
on.
How like our friend gets music from that place. Mm-hmm. Like someone could do that similar kind of thing. We can talk about this later.
Yeah.
Sorry, podcast people. But like let's just say there's ways to extract music from Xboxes. There could be a way to extract audio of cars from Xboxes that were similar. And that could be then patched into an EV's stereo.
Remember that
system.
Old like sold on TV plugin where you plug it in your frickin' Civic and yeah. It sounds like a fucking V8?
Yeah. Did that ever work? I never actually saw one being used.
I never
used.
Did either.
But that's basically
who's
the
that
thing.
Guy that buys that?
I don't think anybody
just freaking just a Mudvayne sticker.
I don't know if they, definitely a Mudvayne. I haven't heard the word Mudvayne
ever. Me either.
V-A-Y-N-E. Trevisio says, what makes a comedian stand out to you? In your opinion, who's the most underrated comedian?
Wow. I think the most underrated comedian right now is probably John Mulaney.
Oh, he's fucking great.
He's so good. He's not... Why do you think he's underrated? Because he's quite
not,
famous.
I think he's famous and he's getting the specials, but people aren't talking about him like they do the other people. Like he,
that's fair.
I think he's going to go down and he's going to be the GOAT. Like I think he's... Because the quality of specials he's putting out so far,
mm-hmm.
and he's just getting into, you know, the marriage and everything. Like this, the material is just like
but
coming
he,
out.
He's so tight, and the jokes are so yeah. like precise and yeah. so good and so funny. He's kind of like and he's pretty clean, I think, yeah. in a way, but not in a way that's, you know, like, yeah. oh, he's boring. It's like
annoying,
Brian
yeah.
Regan is the funniest live show I've ever seen in my life.
Uh-huh.
And he does not say, he says ass maybe.
Yeah.
But dude,
I mean,
like,
Steinfeld is clean and he's,
yeah, very
he's
true.
The heaviest yeah. of hitters.
Yep.
Yeah. No, that horse in a hospital bit I saw on is incredible. Great. That's an incredible bit. It's like it's written down to the word.
The way he broke down yeah. student loan debt.
Yeah. yeah. He's awesome.
It's yeah. I mean, so yeah. So he's only underrated, I think, in the sense that like more people need to be talking
I
about
got you.
Him.
He's not a household name.
He needs
to
be tier
everybody.
One.
Yeah. yeah and he's
they're talking
tier
to
two.
Him as like tier two, but he's yeah. tier one.
Yeah. Fair. I like Chris Porter, who came to
oh,
visit
yeah.
us as an underrated comedian. He's
he
fucking
played on my
hysterical.
Basketball team.
Really?
Yeah.
He's very tall. He's probably decent.
Yeah, it was really good, actually.
His first special, Ugly and Angry, is amazing.
Yeah,
I
there
really
were
like.
Some Rick Glassman, Brent Morin, just the comedians from that amazing basketball players. like, just... I remember guarding Brent, like, I'm just hungover, and he's just, like, I think my girlfriend was watching me play, too. Like, it was bad. Like, we broke up, like, 3 weeks later. Like, I feel like I had something to do with...
She's dating him
the
now.
...the defense I played on Brent Morin that day.
Did we miss Felix's question?
Oh, we did.
Yeah, I'll be going to school in Long Beach, and I want to visit family in Utah every once in a while, 700 miles away. Would you recommend a stock 2013 Focus ST... with maybe some bolt-ons later. I'm 5'8 and 155 pounds. I wouldn't tell you to avoid one. Any front-wheel drive car, if you're talking about highway drives, is not going to be yeah. as cruisy
Don't
as a rear-wheel
in
drive
a barth.
Car. Right.
No. If you're driving far.
Hatchbacks,
or on the highway.
They have shorter wheelbases. Yeah. You know, they rev higher. You know, I would say maybe consider like a BMW 328 four-cylinder. You know, it's a little more relaxed on those highway drives or something like that. But nothing wrong with a Focus ST if you fit in the seats, which at 5'8 and 155 yeah. pounds,
and if you
want to
keep it Ford, do like a Mercury Marauder.
Oh, dude. You got to really get good seats there because yeah. you can have some fucking
it's, yeah, you just sit on a couch.
Yeah.
Not good. Not for that long.
What else you got?
Stitch says, seeing how underpowered the Delica seems, do you have any plans for a mild tune just so hills and merging with traffic is less stressful?
tune? Fucking 1991. It's a 1991
plug a game genie
non-intercooled turbo.
Just take your laundry out of the back.
Fuck out of here, tune.
That's when you hook up a different car and it tows it.
Yeah.
Dave says, I want to get into driving simulators. Is a Logitech wheel setup a good way to start, or should I spend more money?
You fucked with the simulators more than I did when we had them. We started with a Logitech setup, mm-hmm. and then we went to a Fanatec setup. And
I think the Logitech was totally adequate and good. It's you don't want Thrustmaster, but we had Thrustmaster, then Logitech. Now we have Fanatec. Fanatec's the high dollar, most expensive one.
But also has the Logitech's most programming, and you know you got to do shit with it.
Well, the Logitechs are nice because they're belt driven and they're like aluminum gears, so you there's less slop and stuff. Uh-huh.
Is that like a full seat too and everything? Like
well,
that?
You buy the chair seat, separately. Yeah. There's like a what's it called? Oh, play seat. Play seat yeah. makes the chair and the mount. And then you buy
like,
wheel pedals.
That like simulates like body roll.
Which
you
roll
do
and that kind of.
No. Oh, no. That's just a regular chair. If you want to talk, you want motion, yeah. Now you're talking $50,000. It's a whole other thing. Yeah.
Wow.
No, my friend Nick has a pretty sick setup that's got the three monitors, a Fanatec pedals, Fanatec wheel with a manual gearbox and a handbrake and a proper big PC that he built for it. And that setup was like 10 G's.
Jesus, that's no cruising USA.
You can get into. You can get a really nice setup for probably under $2,500. All in. I mean, including like a TV and an Xbox under $2,500.
Totally, yeah. You could get like a, what's it, VR if you wanted to for that much money, which is pretty good. Logitech's a good way to start, dude.
Don't ever buy the cheapest of anything.
No.
Always start in the middle.
I think Sam Smith got a setup, and he, instead of getting a big screen because he didn't have the space, he went with just like the VR setup and a Logitech wheel and a seat and everything.
Yeah.
And he plays iRacing like that. And he's like, it's pretty legit.
That's actually great advice for life.
Never buy the cheapest of anything.
I'm trying to like rack my brain like, well, no, there must have been one time I bought the cheap. No.
No, never. It's never worthwhile. Never. It always costs you more in the end to buy the cheapest thing.
Pop-up vodka is just popping in my head.
Oh, jeez.
Except when you're making jungle juice.
and Barton's. Which one had the bat on it? Like Barton's or Pop-up? Both are bad. Joe Not Twist says, for engine overdubbing, which celebrity's screaming would we pick as a feature for this potential app? He's partial to Netflix's Punisher.
Oh. I would take Chester Bennington.
I mean, that's like the best scream of our generation, absolutely.
What's celebrity? Better scream than that. Jamie Lee Curtis?
And was she in Halloween? Was she in the original Halloween? Wasn't she screaming in something? That was a good thing.
Carrie? Was she in Carrie? No, that was somebody else.
Sam Kinison.
Yes!
Every time your car doesn't crank over, go,
ow!
Yes, that's Sam Kinison is definitely the best,
right? That's if you're driving a fucking shitbox.
1,000% Sam Kinison.
That's the like Honda B16 swap engine. Oh, yeah. Sound.
What if every time it cracks, ow!
Oh man, there's a freaking 19-year-old kid's like, who the fuck are they talking
there's
about?
There's a joke there, yeah. Go listen to Sam Kinison, kids. And last one, what else you got there?
Joe Leonard said, what's the best sounding example of each? Inline 4, V8, V10, V12.
Oh boy. The best sounding inline 4 has to be the Honda NA inline, right? A screaming Honda, like 9,000 RPM, like VTEC just kicked in, yo. That's pretty fucking good.
I think I like the AE86 a lot.
Oh yeah, the black top.
That's a good one.
Black
I've also
top
heard
sound
like
good.
Vintage ones sound good, but I haven't driven enough of them, so I don't know. You know, everyone's always like, you got to hear the Alpha, whatever the fuck, or this thing, and I just haven't been around.
Alpha GTV sounds very nice. It's very good. And hard to argue with Italians.
Yeah, a lot of good ones. Alpha anything GTV with ITBs is going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
The best sounding V6.
Skip over the five cylinders, huh?
Best sounding Audi RS3.
Yeah.
Best sounding V6.
What about the other? Volvo. No, I'm just kidding. There's like two choices. No, keep going.
V6?
Lotus Evora. For sure.
Lotus Evora.
What are you kidding
Volkswagen.
Me? Taurus SHO, kid. Oh, yeah. Fucking wicked, kid.
Best sounding V8? It's got to be like the Ferrari 458 Special, maybe something up there. Or Ferrari 355. Ferrari 355
those old,
with a straight
I like
pipe.
Those old Rover V8s.
What?
Yeah.
You fucking weirdo.
Rover V8s, man. That's
like out of a Morgan from the 80s?
No, like the ones they put in like the TR7s and
oh,
shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Those little rally ones. And yeah, they're sound, they sound great. They
Alfa
sound
Romeo
weird.
Montreal with that 2.6 V8 that was crazy. That was crazy, yeah.
I mean, there's definitely something for like a built 60s big block or even small block. Like it sounds a little bit angrier and more solid, I think, than like the smaller displacement ones, which sound amazing.
I like the Revy one.
I do too,
I
but
like
he also
Cammy
included
Revy.
V12, and I think I'd get that flavor from that engine.
Best sounding V10. I mean, you know, Performante, you know, Superleggero.
Whoa! What about the Triton?
The Triton.
What about
the
RV, E350
the
van?
The Cruise America RV.
Yeah, dude.
Triton, straight pipe,
that
thing. V10. Oof. And the best sounding V12? Well, that's just there's just too many to even count.
All of them.
I mean, they're just all V12s, really. The Zonda comes to mind, but you know,
I saw a video on Twitter today of someone driving an old S600 that they'd straight piped. The guy was like street drifting it very well. So if you hear the sound and you think F1 car and you see it go around the corner, not fast, sideways, but not even like exciting sideways. Like your brain gets very confused.
Yeah. Yeah, those things, like, I can't imagine. That's a perfect internet car. It's probably terrible to drive that every day, but it's a perfect internet car for the Zonda exhaust flyby in the video.
Yeah.
What else? You want to plug any gigs, Ralph, before we get out of here?
You can follow my podcast.
What?
Secret Clubhouse podcast.
Yeah,
brand new.
Podcast now.
Brand new.
Fucking
so
yeah.
I'm all worried about...
Where do we get it?
What's the Secret Club podcast?
Secret Clubhouse podcast. So
what's
Spotify,
the, what's the thing
Apple podcast.
That it's about?
So it's me, Samuel J. Comro, James Fry. We take a word from the audience ahead of time, and that becomes our password, and that's what we riff off of.
That's a cool idea.
We did sports, phobias, you know. Fucking everything.
How long do you do it for? Like, how long is this improv game?
If it's a rough episode, if we're squeaking by, it's like 35 minutes.
Uh-huh. That's impressive.
And then
that's
a long squeak
and then,
by.
And yes. then 50 minutes, we cap it because like sometimes we just go.
Awesome.
But yeah, that's been the most that's been fun. But that's what I was like. Every time we do an episode, I'm like, did I say anything bad?
What's gonna get me?
Yeah, what's gonna get me? I just imagine like.
I mean, someone can always, as soon as we started this stream, you know, to this point, someone said, what's with all the downvotes? And I was like, we haven't even started recording yet. And someone's just clicking no.
Yeah.
That's the world. So someone could find anything you said.
They look at my face and they go like, that looks like a really shitty Ray Liotta.
It does. Actually, it does. But that's a nice thing to say also.
Yeah, it's true.
Like a shitty Ray Liotta is better than my actual face.
It's a good Ralph Guerra.
If you called me Down Syndrome Ray Liotta, I would take it as a compliment.
Yeah, I've gotten I've gotten it all. I've gotten Zac Efron stung by bees. Jonas Brother that didn't make it.
Why are your Jonas insults cousin. Funny and they just call me fat?
Well, because he's thinking up his own.
But
right
also,
now.
Like,
he's
you,
making up his own.
Who do you look like?
Huh?
Do people give you things?
I look like every terrible Camaro driver from Kansas with wraparound Oakleys. That's pretty much people email me and they're like, bro, were you just driving a Z28 in Topeka? Because I swear. That was you. And I was like, no, that wasn't me, man.
No,
goes,
bro, I was
no,
driving
no,
a Firebird.
It was definitely you. And I go,
Fort
no,
Fort Worth.
That wasn't me. I'm at my house in Los Angeles right now. And they go, well, you got to come out here because you got to meet this guy. I go,
well, also, what
track
was
him down
that guy doing?
I don't know, bro. I don't know. Driving a Z28.
Bro, I hope there's
just
a guy
blasting
in
Sweet Home Alabama.
I hope there's a guy
repeat.
Who's fucking saying he's you out there in a fucking...
There was a guy who tried to impersonate me on Instagram. Who just took my Instagram post.
Oh, yeah.
And then put up new captions. Like, he literally put up a picture of me and my wife with the caption, like, I will love you, as if she was dead. Like, he put up, like, he would take pictures, like, random pictures from my Instagram feed and put them up with completely unrelated captions as if they were him.
Why? Wow. What was his
He was
goal?
Catfishing
Do you know?
Somebody.
I don't know, but yeah,
with your pictures.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
That's a big compliment.
He had a
yeah.
I swear to God, all I, the, I all wish
the,
someone
all catfished. The 22-year-olds that are in his basement right now that yeah. just showed up for like a, you know, a drift signing or whatever. Yeah. They're, he's like,
for
hey
the,
man,
for the one take. Yeah, this exactly. is a weird place to drive.
This alley
yeah.
we're meeting here.
Yeah,
huh?
we're driving in the garage. We're driving in the garage.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I fully got impersonated. We reported.
That is
we reported.
Very
yeah, a guy, a kid with a Chrysler Sebring with an intake is like, yeah, I thought he wanted to drive it,
bro.
Now he's wearing my face.
You drove one already that had the hard top, but this one has the soft top. It's totally different.
Well,
there's way less.
You drove a Chrysler Sebring?
No, I just get emails all the time from people that are like, you drove this thing that's very similar to what I have, except for this one difference that I swear makes all the difference in the world, but it's been 4 years since you drove that last one, so even if it did make a difference, you'd never
forget. Honestly, my favorite thing about the whole One Take series in its entirety is the people. Like, here's
my
the
least
thing.
Favorite part about it.
Exactly. There's two types of them. There's the person that's with, usually they have the cooler car, has never had a conversation in their life. They've never talked to anyone. They've never talked to anyone in their life. And then there's the person with the not as great car that I say they're the Skoda people, because they just keep going. They're like, Skoda new radiators, Skoda new suspension system, Skoda new gear turbo, Skoda new.
It's a good word.
Yeah. Well, they're a person that has a lot of time to talk to people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Versus the person who's very successful and like a surgeon, and they have the nice car, but they don't have a lot of time to talk to people.
Yeah. They're like, hey, can we wrap this up, please? To pick up my wife.
And in the spirit of that, we're going to fucking wrap it up. Check out the Secret Clubhouse podcast.
Yeah.
With my friend Ralph Guerra. He knows cars. One day he will buy another Taurus SHO.
Oh,
don't
worry.
89.
Not
today.
I'm going first
someday.
Year now.
You're going back to the first gen?
First year with the wire wheels.
Your last one was a second gen, though.
No, first gen.
Have you only had first gens?
No, I had,
you had a
two
second gen.
Gens yeah. and a first gen.
And why the first gen?
I think just looked better. Plus, it was beige on beige, so...
Can't beat it.
Can't beat that.
I mean, it was literally none more beige. It was the most beige car that could be.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to be a sleeper, you go beige on beige.
Beige on beige.
And then, you know, have 200 horsepower.
I'd love to have that Jeep Cherokee, the Trackhawk 1,000 horsepower in that Jewish racing gold fucking champagne
with
color.
Champagne seats or something.
Yep. Just brown.
Unsellable.
Brown everything.
Yeah.
Oh, I love an unsellable car. The most unsellable car I've ever been around. Worked at a car dealership back in the day. It was an Audi dealer, Porsche Audi. It was an A6.
Uh-huh.
This was the curvy A6. Yeah. I think they called that the C5. 2000 to 2003-ish.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
like the curvy one.
The B5-ish?
Yeah, the real roundy one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was a wagon, 2.8, cream exterior,
okay, mm-hmm.
blue interior with extended leather. So blue dash, blue steering wheel, blue carpets, blue seats, and a cream exterior. 2 years I worked at that dealership. That car didn't fucking move an inch.
The hardest car to sell when I worked at a Toyota dealership was a hypnotic teal Scion XB with rims and a TRD supercharger.
Wow. It's like $38,000 XB.
And I fucking sold it.
Nice.
Yeah, it was like, I was driving in Santa Monica Toyota. We were driving by this it was this dude that for sure was a drug dealer. He bought the car in all cash.
Nice.
That
happens all the time.
And we were driving down, I think we were driving down like Cloverfield or some shit. And I was like, man, look at you in the mirror. He's like, oh, man, I look good.
Oh, reflecting on the building.
A hypnotic teal Scion XB.
Yes. Yes.
You gotta love a drug dealer who doesn't want a subtle car. You know?
Yeah.
Like, dude, back in the day in New York, I bought weed from a guy, I won't say his full name, but it was shortened to T, and he had a first-gen Volkswagen Touareg when they were new, like 04, 05.
Those were dope when they came out.
Nice. It had a full wide-body kit on it and like 24s. This is like in 2004.
Damn. Weed business was good up there.
It was extremely good. He bought a car wash, like a real car wash, and used to serve ganja out of the car wash. It was
crazy. He full Breaking Bad at it.
It was crazy.
Yeah, that is full Breaking
Bad.
But
he had this wide body Touareg with huge rims. It was gangster as fuck, man. That thing was cool as hell. He was killing it.
What, he had 315s in it?
It was, they were monster wheels. I mean,
No. Subs.
Oh, subs? I don't remember. I never went in it. I only ever saw it. It was pretty awesome.
But you felt it when it approached.
Yeah.
No, he kept it low and slow. Yeah. Low and slow. Bumping was a legitimate business owner. Don't talk shit about
it. Was Unique Autosport, was that over in the East Coast? Remember
Unique,
that show?
Yeah, that was in Long Island. Unique Autos is Long Island, yeah. What, you all right there?
I feel like...
That was Will Castro.
Yep.
Yeah, he's still kind of famous.
No, I feel like they were like one of the first, I don't know, companies that learned about doing weird mods just because they had a TV show.
Yeah.
But I wonder if he had his stuff built there, because there weren't many people in the United States that could do
I have no idea where that thing came from. In hindsight, I'd like to go back there and find out, because it was really fucking cool. It was proper. I'd never seen like it. And I've actually never seen anything like it since. It's the only car I've ever seen like that. It was wild. That's the show?
Yeah.
That's the show? That seems like the show.
That was fun.
Podcast, what you want to promote, right?
Yeah.
Secret Clubhouse podcast. Get it where you get podcasts.
Yep.
Thanks for coming in, Ralph.
Absolutely.
And is it RalphGuerra.com?
RalphGuerraComedy.com.
RalphGuerraComedy.com.
For the tour dates.
You got some tour dates. Houston, Jacksonville, San Diego, Spokane, and Richmond.
Yeah. I like to mix it up with the good cities and the bad.
You decide
which ones which.
But May 23rd and 24th, Miami Improv. That's what I'm talking about.
Bro, I'm about to be fucking. I'm going to find my cocaine car down there.
That's what I'm talking about. Maybe I'll join you. I need to go to Miami soon.
Bring the Countach, man. Dude, that's a photo op.
I know it is, but I don't need no fucking photo ops.
That's
true. Have the real car, you don't need the photos. Do you know how many people hit me up and like, yo, let's do a shoot with your car? I'm like, I don't need a shoot. I have the car.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in, man. I appreciate
it.
I'm sorry you don't have a show right now. You will.
Yeah, I will.
I mean the Ford, not an actual television. Zach, do we need to plug anything? Go watch our videos.
Watch the videos.
Watch the videos. They're good for you. Until then, the Smoking Tire Podcast is powered by Shout Engine. Get your own damn podcast at shoutengine.com. It's easy. All you need is a microphone, a connection to the internet, bottle of Booker's, and ideally something to say.
Right.
Good night, everybody. See you later.